Good morning. This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Last year ended on a positive note for Milwaukee's real estate sector. The Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors reported the area had its strongest December for home sales since 2004. It was the 11th straight month home sales increased here.
At the same time, the latest numbers show some cautionary signs, especially for people trying to afford their first home.
Lawrence Yoon was in Milwaukee this week trying to add some context to the discussion. He's chief economist for the National Association of Realtors, and he joined us in the studio. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Where do you see things generally at the outset of 2016? We're a month in, but it's still fairly early in the year.
Well, the housing market recovery is going well. It's not the frenzy activity of what happened 10 years ago. That was clearly a mistake in hindsight. Too much activity led to foreclosure. But ever since then, we have had a steady number of years of recovery. And 2015 finished out quite well. 10% increase in sales in the local area, the greater Milwaukee area. Prices a bit higher. So overall, steady improvements.
What about in terms of new house construction versus sales of existing stock?
So the existing homes are rising, and the new home sales would depend upon how much home builders build. And last year, they were flat. They did not increase all that much, and it needs to increase because one can look at the inventory situation, and the supply of inventory, homes available for sales, are falling. So this trend could continue, which means that prices could rise too significantly, which would then hit affordability and hold back first-time buyers. So the new home construction really need to kick higher.
Well, and so what does it take to convince builders that this is the time to start new home construction?
Well, the builders are looking at their data, and first, whatever homes they are building, they are able to find a buyer quite quickly. It takes them only 3 months compared to over a year during the downturn. So builders are able to sell quickly, but the builders I'm mentioning, there are hurdles which they are facing. One is that right now, in terms of the capital flow, cash available to build, is only the large builders who have access to Wall Street money who are coming in, and they're by big builders getting larger, but small local builders getting squeezed out. Some small local builders who are still in the game, they are indicating that once they get financing from local banks, it is extremely difficult to find skilled construction workers, whether it is carpenter, framers, bricklayers, and that is holding back some of the construction growth potential.
So even if they were able to get permits and financing for building new homes, they have a hard time building them because there just aren't enough people to build these houses.
And I think people need to recognize that working in construction, it pays much higher than minimum wage. Some wages, salary could be up in the $50,000 a year. So hopefully people go into the construction. I mean, many community colleges cater to trade skills, but we need more people going into construction because there's a shortage of labor.
Now, are the places where new construction is likely to take place the kinds of places where first-time home buyers are likely to seek homes, or is it a case of people who are in existing homes seeking out larger, newer places and freeing up the existing stock for the first-time home buyers? Or are there rules of thumb when it comes to that?
Right now, it is predominantly the builders are focused on the higher-end market, which means that existing homeowners who have sizable equity, using their equity to make down payment to make that purchase, and thereby releasing their existing homes onto the market. But we are seeing that first-time buyers, they do want to be homeowners, even though the participation among first-time buyers is at historic low levels. But the first-time buyers are interested in downtown living, walkable communities, where there are more energy, and there should be more condominium development in the Milwaukee areas, yet only apartment appears to be going up.
Well, and there's been a lot of research about the millennial generation and how the various financial pressures it faces, things like rising student debt, are leading to their delaying purchasing a first home. Is that phenomenon being felt in the economics of the real estate industry at this point?
Oh, absolutely. One can look at the new federal mortgage underwriting standards, which requires putting down all debt obligation and actually student debt. A typical student will graduate with about $30,000 in student debt. That is a hurdle. And also there is a psychological barrier. Many recent graduates want to say, I don't want to have too large debt. I want to pay off student debt before taking on a mortgage debt. So that's one of the reasons. The second reason is the wage growth among the millennial generation has been very slow, only 2% a year, while rents are rising at 4%, home values are rising even higher than that. So that affordability gap is limiting. And finally, the underwriting standards has been very stringent, and generally it hurts the younger millennial generation. So even people who want to convert from renting into ownership, they just cannot get approval on mortgage origination.
How would the real estate industry like to see the affordability gap shrink? What can be done to make it more possible then for a first-time home buyer to get into owning a home?
It's all about supply and demand. So if we have more supply of new homes coming onto the market, then that lessens the pressure for rents to rise, for home prices to rise. One great thing about Milwaukee is that it is highly affordable compared to rest of the country. So even though prices have been rising, whether one can compare with Chicago market, but if one compares to, say, San Francisco, Boston, Washington, D.C., it is highly affordable. So I think there could be some possibility where you see some companies who want to relocate out of very expensive places because they want their workers to be rooted in their community. And best way is to be homeowners. And given that Milwaukee area is affordable, many homes at price at only $150,000, it will be a good opportunity to get the economy going, get the younger generation to come into Milwaukee.
And at the same time, when you look at some places like the Southwest and to some degree the Southeast, the dramatic increase in housing stock of 10 years ago or so, wasn't that a contributing factor to the housing bubble when it burst? There were so many homes that everybody was able to get into a home, whether or not they could really afford it.
We clearly have to balance the market. What happened 10 years ago was a terrible mistake. People suffered from it, but it was a loose underwriting standards combined with overbuilding, a terrible mix. What we have today is that we have stringent underwriting standards and underbuilding. Currently, nationwide, new home construction is only 1 million, or just a tad above 1 million. And during the bubble years, it was over 2 million. Historical normal would be 1.5 million. So one can say that we overcorrected and the pendulum has not swung back to the normal yet.
I was going to use the pendulum term. Does the uncertainty of an election year have an impact on the housing climate?
The housing, people view it as very local issue, whether their finances meet the mortgage accessibility and what inventory is available. But for some people, since home purchase is a major expenditure, they want to wait it out. When I look at the historical data on election year, we find not too much of a meaningful difference between election year and non-election year. So I think it's more about mortgage credit accessibility and the local housing inventory.
They aren't necessarily looking at the election and saying, well, if so-and-so wins, the chances I'll be in a better economic position to buy a home are this versus if so-and-so wins. They're really just looking at their immediate and sort of short-term stability.
Only for the very upper tier where they have some impact on, say, tax rate changes and by being who's in the White House that can gauge roughly. So aside from the very top, for vast middle class, they are not really impacted by election in terms of home buying decision.
Do I gather nationally housing permits are up at this point?
Housing permit is up, so it's highest in 7 years, but that's a misnomer because it's coming off such a low point. Highest in 7 years is still at a little over 1 million. There needs to be additional 50% increase in housing starts just to get us back to normal. We don't want oversupply, but we have undersupply. And because of housing shortage, the rents are rising too fast, home values are rising too fast.
And presumably housing permits don't ensure that houses are actually going to be built.
Not all housing permits translate into actual construction, but many local authorities, I think what they are finding is that once they build apartment, it is quickly absorbed. There are many rise in renting tenants, but what they forget is that there's also a demand for condominiums, and in many locality, like Seattle will be a good example, they're only issuing apartment permits, but not condominium permits, even though there is a strong demand for condominium. One can see in the Milwaukee area, great view of the Lake Michigan if it was to be built in the downtown area. And I think the condominium market, there is a great sustainability potential.
Well, Lawrence Yoon, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Lawrence Yoon is chief economist for the National Association of Realtors. He was in Milwaukee this week for a real estate summit held by the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors and Marquette University.